Yeah, let's do this.
Hello and welcome to the Volleyball Source Podcast. This is episode number 79. My name is Cameron Kerr.
And I'm Everett DeLorme.
And Everett, we took the week off because you have been working extremely busy.
I was on the subway on the way back from the plane. I asked Cam if we could do a podcast.
Well, I was also working that day.
And so. I was at the airport trying to get a hold of Cam being like, hey man, I'm back in the city now.
Yeah.
Can we do one tonight? And he was like, nah, I'm still at work.
It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Before we start the show, I want to give a quick shout out to Steve Aird. Now, the head coach. Steve's been on the program, on our show, a bunch. He was the assistant with Russ Rose at Penn State. He got a promotion. He has now got his own team in the Big Ten. Maryland found out what their mascot was.
What is it?
It's a terrapin. A terrapin, didn't know what it was, had to Google it. It's a turtle.
A turtle?
Yes, it's a type of turtle. They go by tarps for short.
Tarps.
Maryland tarps.
The Maryland tarps.
Yep, so Steve sent this up to me. It's extremely comfortable. Like, man, the nice Under Armour garments. NCAA, they know how to do athletics, don't get me wrong.
Yes, they do.
All right, and but let's talk a little bit of volleyball.
Yes, should we?
We're going to bring in Pierre. You guys know Pierre Rock, our West Coast correspondent. Pierre, how's it going?
Doing great, guys. Thanks.
All right. You should probably put your headphones on so you can hear
him. I should put the headphones on.
But yeah, Pierre, you know, we have now had a little bit of time to digest. Some of us, a little bit of time to stop the tears. The CIS volleyball season is over. The CCAA volleyball season is over. And the West dominated, specifically Alberta. Like, especially CCAA side, Red Deer cleaning house, both men's and women's teams. What are your general thoughts? Let's start with
emotions,
CCAA, because we've done CIS over and over again, but let's start with CCAA. You know, Red Deer winning the women's and men's tournaments. We got to see a little bit we saw the bronze medal match and a little bit of the gold up at Seneca this past weekend.
Mm-hmm, yeah, VIU overtaking Hélène Desgarneaux.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Red Deer Queens taking over. Who was it? Oh, sorry. The Grand Prairie Wolves. Little brain fluster there.
Yeah, but it's okay. We've done a lot of volleyball. so many matches. Pierre, what are your general thoughts on CCAA?
A lot of pride, I think. Being a Red Deer alumni, that was really good to see, especially for the girls. The Queens, they really deserve it. Talbot Walton. He's been coaching there a long time. He's been to the national final a few times with those girls and finally gets one. So a big shout out to him because he's been working hard. And then Aaron Shula taking those boys and whipping them into the right shape. Maybe losing last year was their blessing in disguise because it taught them what they needed to do different this year. And they were playing in a pretty hostile territory in Briarcrest. And Briarcrest being in the final, I mean, four ACAC teams being in those two finals, it's good to see that this conference, even though there is 14 or 15 teams on both sides, is still the strength of CCAA.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, one thing that Everett pointed out to me when we were watching the I think it was like the bronze medal match, is that especially for the women, You're watching, you lean over and you make a comment. It's like, it's so nice to see CCAA ball at this high level. Because,
I mean, there's no question that saying that the OCAA, especially on the women's side, just is enough to snuff. I mean, Humber's absolutely dominated the past few years. And in their seven past years of trips to nationals, I think they've maybe won one first round match. And, you know, I've coached in the OCAA. I've seen a lot of OCAA women's, and the level just isn't all there. And then, you know, we walk into the gym, and I had people texting me, too, because it was the first time they were watching these teams from out west and being like, damn, you know, the Pac West and the ACAC on the women's side can really bring it.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to experience this a little bit more now. Last year, coaching women U18 and then coaching in the ACAC this year, and seeing kind of the change. And a lot of girls coming out of Alberta are like, okay, I want to go to the NCAA. And then it's like, well, do I really want to do that? I want to go CIS. And now it's CIS, you know, the level is pretty high. And these girls are realizing they can transfer in. It's becoming like the men's game, where a lot of guys used to go to the ACAC first, transfer to the CIS, and they would play every year for five straight years, and by the end of it, would be unreal. So now the girls are starting to catch up to this idea that, you know, maybe I don't need to go to the CIS and don't need to sit on the bench for 2 or 3 years. I can play in the ACAC, which, like you said, ACAC and PacWest are just starting to get stronger and stronger. There's probably seven teams in the ACAC who could have won this year. And Red Deer is kind of scary dominant, though, and just so disciplined. So it was kind of obvious that they were going to do it.
But I mean, it was scary to watch them in the final and just tear into Grand Prairie right from the get-go.
Yeah, it was crazy. And they had a good set of fans who came out. They were sitting right in front of us, like a nice pack. They were all wearing their green, like, cowboy hats with, like, kings and queens crowns on the front, a little bejeweled thing there, but
I'm sure Pierre has one sitting around at home.
I don't have one, but I could probably make one.
Sounds good. You mentioned a bunch of the players deciding to go NCAA and then deciding CIS. There's an interesting document posted on the Ontario Volleyball Association website, but in the footnotes for this document is a PDF document. It said that it was put together with a lot of the information from, I think it might have been Volleyball BC, one of the Western provincial organizations. And it's basically a guide of, do you want to play university ball? Here are the things you need to be looking for and, like, working on grades 10, 11, and 12. And in the case, because it was an Ontario document, here are the Ontario coaches, both CIS and CCAA, men's and women's programs, head coach name and assistant coach name, and their respective email addresses. I don't know how long this document's been going around, but I think that that's a fantastic thing, because I think that there historically has not been a lot of knowledge. People are kind of in the dark. They don't know what options are available to them. They don't know that, you know, like, I could go and play here, or, like, I love volleyball, I want to continue. Yes, NCAA is an option, and, like, there's so many divisions, but, like,
I mean, at that point, also, it's up to the athletes, too, to actually want to go and do some research. It's incredible how many kids who come up to coaches, you know, 2-3 tournaments into their 18U year and be like, hey, so I'm thinking of coming to your school. Okay, great, what do you want to take? Oh, I'm not sure. You know, realistically, if these kids aren't researching where they want to go and just want to play ball, then they have to do some research on themselves.
Yes.
It would be better if, you know, the OVA was actually, like you just said, you had to find this in the footnotes.
Yes.
So how out there is it? The fact that this document exists is fantastic, but is it in the hands of our 18U athletes, or more importantly, is it in the hands of our 16U athletes?
Right.
Because it would suck as an 18U player to be like, well, now I'm getting this. This is great. And my great, you know, I can't do anything about my schooling now. I've lost 2 years of development, and I can't attract any coaches anymore.
Yeah, I know we have that document in Alberta, because I was looking at it last year for some of my players. And it's funny, because I had probably my best athlete last year outside of Mariah Walsh came up to me, and she said she wanted to go to an NCAA school because that's where her prior club said she should go. And I said, well, have you ever looked in Canada? And she's like, well, no, I don't want to do that. And then by the end of the season, I had multiple ACAC coaches wanting this athlete. She was phenomenal. But if she'd gone to the state, she'd have been looking at probably somewhere in the 75 to 100 range ranked team, not a top 25. And I asked her the question. I was like, do you want to go and do you want to develop as a volleyball player? Yes. Okay, do you know what program you want to take in school? Yes. Okay, let's try and match these to where you want to go. And at the end of the day, she came to Nate. I mean, it was just fortunate that I ended up on that coaching staff. But she's a phenomenal athlete, but just wasn't aware, because there was no, like you said, Everett, there's no awareness at the age of 16 for a lot of these, maybe not the top athletes, but the ones who aren't, you know, in the top 10 in the province. They don't know where to go because CIS coaches haven't already begun that conversation with them.
Right. Whose responsibility is it?
I think it's the coach's responsibility, and it's
club coaches.
The club coach's responsibility, and it comes down to not only the provincial not only the clubs, but the provincial associations, and maybe Volleyball Canada, right? That, you know, we need to have some sort of open conference, if we want to entice more volleyball players to go play at post-secondary, which is where they're going to develop, whether, regardless if it's the NCAA, the CIS, or the CCAA, there has to be this open discourse of how what you need to do to be able to get there. Mm-hmm. And the steps you need to take athletically and academically, and because, of course, going to any one of these leagues is going to be different. I mean, and the really dedicated athletes will go out and do it themselves. But how come every 14-year-old basketball player can tell you how they can make the NCAA or the CIS or whatever it may be, but our volleyball players can't? You know, how many times are...
And finding out, we prioritize in our club, what do you want to take in school, and then let's work from there. Because if you're just going to play, you're not going for the right reason.
Right. So... we've talked a little about CCAA. Pierre, we have not spoken, you and I, at least on the show, since the CIS championships, where I guess just let's hear it. You can.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to give big credit to Western. I had a lot of fun in Calgary with them calling me Bagel. I quite enjoyed it. You know, I made some wild predictions, and I got to eat it. Thankfully, Ben Josephson did come and apologize for their performance. I think he was more joking than anything, because he knew I was eating my words as much. But, you know, it was disappointing, the whole tournament. It was great to see Canada West win. It was great to see U of A do that well. But I wanted Trinity to play McMaster, because we were going to see something very special if those two ran into each other. And then I really wanted to see whoever survived that match play U of A, because those were going to be two spectacular matches. But we didn't get it. And the national final could have been one of the more anticlimactic things we saw, with, I think, Western ran out of energy. Phil James, nowhere to be seen. They didn't give the ball to Scapinello, like I said. And Garrett May just didn't have it that day. So... I mean, you guys can both eat it all you want, because OUA did not win, and it's Ontario still doesn't have a championship since the Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup, and even then it wasn't an OUA team. I'd just like to point that one out too. But no, it was great to see. It was good to see Canada West get through there and survive, because somebody had to.
Well, that's all I got. So all I'm saying is, next year, Pierre, three bids, of course, because McMaster getting the bronze medal.
We'll talk about that one again in September.
Yeah.
I think we're all happy about that, though. Honestly, I would rather see three OUA teams than a second team from Quebec or AUS right now. Nothing against Montreal, but like, Francion carried the team, and they couldn't do anything. Like, it was unfair.
Yeah, I had this conversation with a few people at CIS, and, you know, in reading the article, they go, well, Everett, you don't understand the criteria. And, you know, obviously the criteria...
No, we fully understand the criteria.
Is the issue.
The problem isn't understanding the criteria.
The problem is
the criteria sucks.
Absolutely. Like, the fact that Montreal is just piggybacking on Laval's success, and... I mean, 6-11, and it's not even 6-11. If it was 6-11 in the Can West, maybe we give them a pass. But you're 6-11 in the RSEQ. What you're doing? You're beating Sherbrooke and Memorial. That's essentially what you're doing.
Maybe some crossovers.
I think they had one win against UNB, and that was it. Why are they there? Why does basketball get at-large bids? Why does soccer get at-large bids? Why is volleyball still in this archaic world of, hey, guess what? Your team won last year. Your conference is going to get two, which is ridiculous because their conference only has three teams.
Yeah. What happens when we see, like? Oh, I guess there is the rule.
Yeah, there is the rule. We almost saw it with the women last year.
We almost saw it last year, but there is the rule saying that, like, no more than half.
Because I would have loved to either see Brandon or Waterloo at Nationals.
Sure.
And you know what? They would have made for exciting first round matches. And I know the first place seed is, you know, there's no more of that kind of gimme match. But at the same time, there shouldn't be.
Right.
What happens? I mean, it's never going to happen. But what happens? Laval, Montreal make it. And then let's say they both win a medal.
Yeah.
At Nationals. And let's say Sherbrooke's hosting. Who gets the fourth spot now? Does that get bid at large?
Last year that happened on the women's side because Sherbrooke, Rachel Cockrell.
I think Patrick's bracket was actually called like going with Pishke on this one was the name of his bracket. But you know, Manitoba Bisons, Pierre, what is your thoughts? UBC for the first time in it looks like 6 years, not claiming gold.
Yeah, it looks like six is the max you can win on the women's side because mm-hmm. I think there's three teams now who've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to some people who went, their exact words were, if these teams played 100 times, Manitoba might not win five. But they just served hard and won the match like old P. Sampras style or even old Roger Federer style. Just serve hard and hope.
Yeah.
And put the pressure on. And they played just super free and super loose volleyball and got it done. You couldn't have told me that was going to happen. Nobody could tell me that UBC was going to lose that. I know they lost four matches this year, or five, whatever it may have been. I would not have put my money on. I know I said Trinity was going to win, but I wanted to pick somebody other than UBC.
Yeah.
Well, it was a crazy CIS championships for upsets. I mean, we've got the Western over Trinity. Trinity Western, yes. And then you've got the Western over McMaster, so two huge upsets there. And then you go to the women's side, right off the bat, Dalhousie defeating Trinity Western, which no one at all saw coming.
Pretty much ruined your bracket, Pierre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your headphones, Everett,
yes,
are
I know.
Doing this thing where they're flapping around.
Yes, they
pissed me off.
A casualty happened while I was in the mountains.
Just gonna do this here.
This is great podcasting right here.
Okay,
folks.
Yeah. And then, of course, and then the fourth upset, you've got Manitoba
over UBC in the final. Now, when we spoke with head coach Doug Reimer last year, he alluded to, he's like, I don't think we're going to win next year. But you know what? Silver medal, like...
I mean, it's an enviable position for Manitoba to be in.
Yes.
Right? If you win, you've upset one of the greatest
teams.
You're
the one who takes down
the queen.
And
if you lose... You're just another team to lose to UBC. It is, you know, I would have liked to see UBC win it, but hell, I love
it. No, I'm glad Manitoba won it.
I love
it. Shake things up a little bit. 7 years in a row, come on. Like, as much as I would like to see it would have made a great cover for the upcoming issue of the Meg, but like, come on, I want some change. I like it when there's, like, when teams are, like, when there's an underdog doing well. That's what I like.
Yes.
Yeah, but 1 year change isn't going to do anything. You know that.
I know.
Lisa Barkley's in her fifth year next year, and she's not going to let that happen.
I think if we tally up the votes, the winner is Karch.
Really?
Yes.
Am I surprised?
No.
Are you surprised?
No.
Pierre, are you surprised?
Exactly.
It's like picking Wayne Gretzky.
You know, we had Matt Garhoff pick Steve Timmons.
Mm-hmm.
Blair Band got chosen, which is fantastic. We had Emmanuel Rego get picked from Brazil, beach volleyball player. And we also had Loy Ball, the former setter of the U.S. men's national team. Pierre, who is your favorite indoor volleyball player?
It's funny because I read this and I really thought like Misty May or Carrie Walsh was going to run away.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Not a single person mentioned.
No Rogers, no Dalhouser.
Yeah,
and then I was thinking myself, and I'm like, I'd love to go off the map and like pick some random player. And the one, I love Dante or Sergio. Like watching the 2002 Olympics, like that was one of the biggest reasons I continued playing volleyball. That final alone, or like Jiba,
Jiba's unreal.
But if I had to pick my favorite player, it's going to be Gavin Schmidt. I played with the guy, and he's, you know, top five in the world. I got to say he's my favorite volleyball player alive right now.
Definitely. And, you know, like, one thing that I remember, you mentioned Sergio. I remember this one play. I can't remember what game it was, but the ball was, like, shanked out of bounds. He was the only person who could get it, but he's the libero, and the only way he can play it is to jump set it. So he jumps behind the attack line, travels forward against his playing ball, and then sets it back to a backcourt player. Perfectly legal, and the guy just clobbers it. It was unbelievable. Someone needs to YouTube highlight
that right now. There's a clip of Sergio getting a block, literally just standing up the net, putting his hands up, his feet on the ground. Whoever, like, tries to crush it, and it hits his hands.
Nice.
Although, I think my favorite player, since no one bothered to ask me.
Everett, who is your favorite?
I'm going to have to go with the Jiba. Jiba, only because of that one clip from those very 2002 Olympics mm-hmm. of him, the two sprawls at the baseline. You've got the commentator in Portuguese.
Jiba!
The same thing as a bunch of Portuguese gibbers. Jiba de Brazil! At both times. Just two great digs.
Fantastic. That was such a great series.
That was.
Unbelievable.
Was yours, Cam? Did you say?
I did not say, and I'm undecided. But do you know what? You mentioned Gavin Schmidt being yours best living. I think I'm going to go with Dustin Schneider.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Good one.
Yeah. Because I think that, like, he's extremely on the international scene. Like, I was extremely happy when Zaxa picked him up to set for their team in Poland. And, like, I was, like, so pumped. But, like, to watch him play and to watch him run an offense, like, we've got a chance to see him live many times. It's just fantastic to watch. And, you know, like, a lot of people give him crap because, like, oh, he's not tall, he can't block. I'm like, we've seen him block some of the best players in the world. We've seen him go up at the net and win jousts against some of the best players in the world. So, like, don't tell me that. Like, the guy can run an offense, too. And, like, obviously, like, Zaxa saw that, and now he's over in Poland setting for them, and it just gets me excited for this year's World League. I am pumped, you are pumped, Pierre is pumped, all of the matches are out west. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to do some serious plane ticket purchasing.
Yes, or couch surfing.
Couch surfing, yeah. What's your couch situation like, Pierre? Can we come live with you for a bit?
It's a sectional, you guys could probably both fish on.
Oh, there we go. Nice.
So, that is our three favorite players individually. If you haven't yet filled out, I encourage you to do so. You can do so by visiting our Facebook page. And this is the post right here, the question of the week. Just leave a comment.
My pick's right there.
No. Yep.
That was one thing is when I was very upset when Jiba was injured and didn't make the trip to Canada for the 2012 World League.
Yeah. Well, like...
Then again, we did get to see Dante just rip up a few
pipes. We did. And... we did get to see Canada defeat Brazil.
That was a lot cooler.
For the first time. I think then it was like, 12 years? First time in 12 years?
Yeah, since 1999.
Yeah. So, like, that was fantastic. But I believe, you know, there is one more thing. And Pierre, we want to keep you on for this one as well. The Volleyball Canada auction. Every year, Volleyball Canada hosts an online auction with different items that sponsors or, you know, people donate. They try to raise money for... I don't even know what they're raising money for. General VC funds?
It's just general VC funds.
Okay. So let's check out some of these items because I was curious. We have the Volleyball Canada auction. If you haven't checked out the Volleyball Canada auction, you should do so.
It ends tomorrow.
It ends tomorrow. So you got a bid.
Yes.
There was one that's like a full... You know, Pierre, we were talking about getting white-hatted. Item number 124, dressed to impress at the Stampede. This package includes two custom-fit Stampede hats. $260. How expensive do these hats usually go for?
Those white hat hats are like... $60 a piece, at least.
Holy cow.
Well, really?
If not more. Because I remember having to pick them up and being a little surprised at the price tag.
There you go.
They're custom made by one company in Calgary. So if you get the actual white hats, they're pretty steep.
Can we rent them?
I don't think that would work. Volleyball Canada cribbage board, pretty hilarious. I'm not a big cribbage man myself, but I understand it's a popular game, especially of the beach athletes who have to travel on the tour. But that one's going for a bit. Eric Carlson signed Sens jersey. I'm not even going to do it the justice of enlarging that photo.
They probably didn't want to put Phil Kessel up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And they should have.
Can we go back one second? Let's show the trip.
Yes. This is the most expensive item.
And the coolest.
An incredible volleyball experience, lifetime, World League in Belgium. So you get to spend 4 days, June 6th through 10th, in Belgium, because you are over there when Canada travels to do an away match versus Belgium. You get round-trip flight 4-2. You get to stay in Belgium. You get tickets to the game. Current bid is $2,150. There are 21 bids. You can see... Ooh, you can kind of see the username. These are very... these are cryptic. You can't really tell whose these are. I kind of wanted to know who these people are.
It's probably good that way.
Yeah.
Privacy.
Yes. Although, Carla Wolfenden, would that not be
that one
possibly related to former libero Chris Wolfenden?
I would imagine that's his wife.
Yeah.
So I would imagine.
I wasn't going to go out and say that, but.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's. But all these, like Sass, who is Sass? That's my girlfriend's nickname, actually.
Maybe she's trying to surprise you.
Maybe,
maybe
but she doesn't
get you a trip.
She doesn't spend it. She doesn't
for Cam's birthday.
Like
that's today.
Yes, it is my birthday today. We did a.
I can like not, you know, kill two birds with one stone here. It's Cam's birthday today, and then it's Pierre's birthday in 2 days.
2 days, March birthdays. High five, bud.
What's up, Pisces?
Yeah, Pisces. Yeah. That's how we roll.
These two old guys getting it done here.
In fact, I have some birthday. Pierre, I wasn't able to, you know, purely whiskey to you, but we've made it a tradition
to drink on the show.
To drink on the show, and my favorite noise, that right there,
Pierre. This is what we would have needed in Calgary after during those wrap up shows. While you were getting heckled,
you know, some of that stuff should be on blooper reels. It shouldn't be.
Me
getting
YouTube?
Crushed, but it's okay. I understand.
You're getting crushed by the hometown fans.
Well, to be honest with you, I just didn't want to do the editing.
Here's some water. Cheers, guys.
Cheers to you too, sir. That is it for us on this week's... Oh, that's wrong. This week's episode of the Volleyball Source Podcast. If you want to contact us throughout the week, you can do so by visiting our website at volleyballsource.net. We have a little contact link there on the top of the homepage. It is a new website. It was launched just a couple weeks ago. Please give us some feedback. Not that. That is the
Tell thing. Us what you think.
Let us know what you think.
Also, Pierre, can we address something real quick?
Oh, yes. I forgot to bring this up. On the last show... Pierre and I, or a couple of shows back, Pierre and I had a bet for $20. I lost the bet, and do you know what? I'm a man of my word. I was not going to Calgary. Everett was, so I gave him the $20.
Oh, yeah.
There is video evidence of this. It's on the show. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Last episode, episode 78. And he was supposed to buy you a drink, and what did he not do?
Buy me a drink.
He didn't buy you a drink at all.
In his defense, he was in the gym until 1 a.m. because he was one man doing probably three men's work.
This is true.
And also, you were leaving the gym about 30 seconds after our clip was done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those were long days. And second of all, I actually still have that $20. I found it in my pants the other day and went, where did this come from?
It came from me.
It's sitting on my desk right now.
Came from me. So Everett owes Pierre some money. Actually, how about you just keep that, because I owe you some money, and then I'll just buy Pierre drinks when we go for World League.
Oh, fantastic.
Sound good?
Sounds great.
It'll be the longest payback for a wager that I've been a part of, but it is what it is. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at VolleyballSN. As I mentioned before, we are Facebook.com/VolleyballSource. And if you're watching this live right now, you already know about our YouTube channel. There's a little icon, I think, right up. No, that corner, that will ask you to subscribe. And if you don't like videos and you want to catch it maybe on a commute, the show is also available as audio only on iTunes. Pierre Rock, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll see you guys next week.
Have a good week, guys.
Bye.